You are married to a sinner in whom God's grace is at work. So, be realistic, because your marriage will never be perfect. But be encouraged, because your marriage is never hopeless.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, those are two hugely important truths to keep in mind, because it doesn't take long after you say I do to realize I'm pretty messed up, and apparently so is my spouse.
And hopefully that discovery is made before getting to the point of saying I do as well. Yeah. Every area of a Christian's life is an area in which grace is needed and grace is present. And that is true of a Christian marriage as well. And we've got to hold on to both of these things. Grace is needed. I have to show grace. I have to receive grace. And grace is present.
Yeah.
Because Christ is present. And so there's both the need that we have as those who are brought into this very, very wonderful union and this gift of marriage, and also the resource that we have, the hope that we have. So the gospel just floods into marriage. And I think it's very significant that the union of a husband and a wife is related to the union of Christ and his church, because the one speaks into the other. And where we see that, we'll see both our need and our hope.
Well, we're going to look at this today from Ephesians chapter 5. So I hope you'll join us there as we begin a message entitled Gospel-Shaped Marriage. Here's Pastor Colin.
If you are a Christian, your calling is to live out the gospel. And marriage, family life, is simply one place where some people are called to do that. If you look at Ephesians chapter 5, that's just been read to us, perhaps the best known passage in the Bible about marriage, you will see that it begins with a message for everybody. Verses 1 and 2, be imitators of God as dearly loved children and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us. That is for everybody. That is God's calling to you, whether you're married, single, widowed, divorced. The will of God for you is the same, to live a life of love. So no one is excluded. And you will find today and throughout this month that there are particular ways in which the themes that are being shared speak directly into your life and your experience. Some of us are nervous because we fear being excluded. Others of us are nervous because we fear being ashamed. And if you feel that you have been a failure as a husband or as a wife, your first instinct may be to want to just run and to hide. Well, again, let me give you this promise. The purpose of Family Life Month is not to load you up with guilt over your failures as a parent or your failures as a husband or a wife or whatever. God's purpose is never to load any person up with guilt, but always to bring us into hope. And so God reaches out to all people in the gospel. Nobody will be excluded. And God brings hope to all people, and no one will be excluded from that either. Now, with that introduction, I want to offer a definition of marriage that I think will encourage both hope and humility. It comes in two parts. Here's the first. Marriage is the union of two sinners. Now, that, of course, is the bit that encourages humility, right? It keeps us earth to reality. You can probably think of a more optimistic definition of marriage than this, but you have to admit that this is true. It always will be true. It's true of every marriage, that it is the union of two sinners, and that is why there will never be a perfect marriage. The best that you can hope for is marriage to another sinner. Thankfully, however, this is not the full definition, so let's add the second part. Marriage is the union of two sinners in whom God's grace is at work. That's good news. Jesus said, my Father is working and I am working too. The Father is always at work. And if you're thinking at this moment, but wait a minute, my husband is an unbeliever, my wife is an unbeliever, so once were you. You were dead in trespasses and sins, and God made you alive in Jesus Christ. The Father is always at work, and that is why there is hope for every marriage. Marriage is the union of two sinners in whom God's grace is at work. So you're not married to an angel. Don't expect him or her to be. But you're not married to the devil either. Be thankful for that. You are married to a sinner in whom God's grace is at work. So be realistic, because your marriage will never be perfect. But be encouraged, because your marriage is never hopeless. Now, the title today is Gospel-Shaped Marriage. And the reason for that is simply that the gospel is to shape every part of our lives, and so obviously that includes marriage. Paul says specifically that the relationship between Christ and his church is a kind of picture of God's purpose for the husband and for the wife. Now, notice the order. He's not saying, thankfully, Christ loves the church just like you husbands love your wives. I mean, if he said that, we'd be in trouble, because sometimes we husbands don't love our wives as we ought. We don't do it very well. But it's the other way around. He says, look at the perfect model, which is how Jesus Christ loves the church, and that is the model for how you are to love your wife, and Christ is calling you wives to respond to your husbands as the church submits to Christ. So the union between Christ and the church is really the model. It is the template for the relationship between husband and wife. It's the pattern on which we are to build. It is the blueprint for marriage. So if you want to know how to relate to your wife, start thinking deeply about how Christ loves the church and all the dimensions of that. If you want to know how to respond to your husband, start thinking deeply about the way in which the church responds to Christ. That's the model. God wants your marriage to be an expression of that union between Christ and his church. Now, that's a picture that we're given in the scriptures. The question, of course, is what is this going to look like? How is this actually going to work out in practice? So what I want to do in our time today is to pick up on three pictures in Ephesians chapter 5 and very simply to apply them to our lives. The first picture, and I hope you have your Bible open at Ephesians 5, you'll see it there in verse 8. Indeed, it runs right through from verse 8 to 14. It's the picture of light. You were once darkness, verse 8, but now you are light in the Lord. This is a wonderful statement. And Paul is writing here to every Christian. And he says, whatever your circumstance of life, if you are indeed in Jesus Christ, you are light. Think of it this way. The moon has no light of its own. But when the sun shines on the moon reflects that light. The sun gives light, as it were, to the moon, so that we may indeed move in the light of the moon, and we may receive light even when the sun is hidden from us. Now, that's the calling, of course, of every Christian believer. Christ's light, Paul says, has shined on you. And because his light has shined on you, your life is to reflect that light so that when the light of Christ is hidden from other people, they may be able to see a reflection of that light in you because he's shined on you. You are light in the Lord. Now, of course, there are different kinds of light. There is light that draws, and there is light that repels. Light can shine on a path in such a way that it draws you. It makes you want to move forward in that direction. It's a beautiful thing. But light can also be used by a torturer in a way that shines into your eyes and repels you and fills you with fear and makes you want to withdraw. Now, think about this. How does Jesus Christ shine his light on you? Of course, Paul had a unique experience here, didn't he? I expect when he talks about the light of Christ shining, he must have been thinking about his own unique experience on the Damascus Road when he was literally blinded by the light of Christ's glory. Thank God that isn't his normal way of operating. You haven't had that experience, right? And thank God for it. What has been your experience? Your experience has been, my experience has been, that God shines his light gently on our path. He does it in such a way that he does not show us all that is wrong with us at one time, because that would be devastating to us. He is gracious and gentle and patient. God's word is a lamp for our feet and a light for our path. God shines his light on you in such a way that it draws and in such a way that you may follow.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and the first part of a message called Gospel-Shaped Marriage. Now, we'll get back to the message in just a moment, so I hope you'll stay with us. But if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we want to offer you a copy of Phil Ryken's book, I Have My Doubts, How God Can Use Your Uncertainty to Reawaken Your Faith. And Colin, who would you say this book is for?
Well, it is for anyone who has ever experienced any doubt, and I would think that's pretty much anyone. You know, faith always has questions because there are so many things that God has not yet revealed to us. You know, sometimes I think when people doubt, they think, I must be the only person that has this question. Well, the good news is actually the Bible is filled with characters who doubted and had different kinds of doubt. And what Phil Ryken has done very wonderfully in this book is he's identified not only different stories of doubt, so we're introduced to different characters, but different types of doubt. So, for example, Eve had doubts about God's word. Moses had doubts about God's call. You've got Naomi, who had doubts about God's generosity. You had Asaph, who had doubts about God's justice. So you discover different kinds or families of doubt, and real people who actually battled their way through it. It's a wonderful book, and I think it's profoundly helpful.
Well, we want to send you a copy as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can give online at openthebible.org or when you call 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365 or openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Now, in the context of marriage, you live in another person's light. Your light surrounds the person God has placed next to you. The question is, what kind of light are you shining? See, in marriage, you become known. And that's wonderful because we're made in the image of God. We want to be known. It's also a bit scary because we're fallen and we don't want everything about us to be known. You are exposed in marriage in another person's light. My wife knows me. I'll tell you, I am thankful for the gentleness of her light. And I want to ask this question. What kind of light are you to your wife, to your husband? If you're not married, what kind of light are you to your colleagues at work? What kind of light are you, if you're a parent, to your children? Nobody wants to live in a searchlight, right? And frankly, that's one reason why a lot of hiding goes on in marriage. There is light that attracts, and there is light that repels. What kind of light are you? The kind of light that would draw him forward in openness, or cause him to close up and shrink back? The kind of light that draws her trust. The kind of light that makes her shrivel up and close down. All the difference in the world. Now, thinking more broadly about family life, some of us have seen the light that repels. We were brought up with a light that repels. There was truth. There was Bible. But there didn't always seem to be much love, or patience, or grace. And here is what has happened. You've reacted to that. And the problem now is that there really isn't much light or truth in your life or in your home at all. You are not in the Word. The Word is not in your marriage. You are so scared of putting your children off that you don't even pray with them. It's a reaction. You saw the light of the torturer, the light that made you want to shrink back. And by reaction, you've closed yourself off from the light altogether, as far as family life is concerned. Now, remember Jesus said this, if the light within you is darkness, how great is the darkness? He said it this way on another occasion. He said, see to it that the light in you does not become darkness. Now, here's the vision of Family Life Month. If you want to try and grasp it in a nutshell, it's simply this, that the light of Christ will indeed shine in every home, in every marriage, in every family, and in every life. But that it should shine in a way that attracts, not in a way that repels. We want to encourage you. You were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Will you follow through this week in talking, as husbands and wives, talking with children about how the light of God's truth can penetrate marriage and penetrate family life and bring blessing to all? Now, that's the first image. It's the image of light. Here's the second one, and it's the picture of water. Look at verse 25 and 26, please. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Why? To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. A Christian believer is someone who has been washed in Jesus Christ. In fact, the way the Bible describes it, we are really plunged into him. You can think of it this way, that Jesus Christ is the bath in which we are washed clean. And all of this, of course, is beautifully pictured for every Christian in baptism. Jesus Christ makes us clean. But more than that, Jesus Christ keeps us clean. There is a sense in which a Christian believer remains in the bath all of your Christian life. You are in Christ and always being washed. The church is always being washed until it will finally be presented in the presence of God without fault and with great joy. Now, Paul takes up that picture, and what he's saying is this in the context of marriage. Just as Christ cleanses the church, so you husbands need to have a cleansing, sanctifying effect upon your wives, cleansing her by the washing of water through the word. Now, when you are married, two people become one. Think of it this way. Your life is the water in which your wife bathes. Wives, your life is the water in which your husband bathes. What's in you will wash off on him. What's in him will wash off on you. This is a very powerful picture, the washing with water. Now, remember that just as there are different kinds of light, there are different kinds of water. I grew up in the city of Edinburgh on the east coast of Scotland. As most of you know, there are a few strips of beach there, but not much sun, and so it's not a great deal of use. Buried deep in the beach, that was fairly close to our home, there was a large sewer pipe that went under the beach and then several miles out into the water and discharged itself eventually at length into the North Sea. I remember vividly an occasion when the pipe broke fairly near to the shore. I remember as a kid being down there near the beach and seeing that the whole beach was fenced off and there were these signs put there in the sand that said, "No swimming." I mean, a more unnecessary sign, I have to say, there never was. With a smell that was coming off the water, I cannot imagine how anyone in their right mind would even have thought of the idea of swimming there. Now listen, let me ask you this question to the men. What kind of water are you for your wife to bathe in? If she were to bathe in your waters for 20 years, would she come out strengthened and invigorated, or soiled and infected? So the light on your path, the water in which you swim. Here's the third thing, the food that you eat. Verse 29, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. So we're back to the template again. The template is that Christ feeds and cares for the church, and this is to be the model for the relationship between husband and wife. Christ feeds his people. Now, just as the washing that is ours in Christ is beautifully pictured in baptism, so the feeding that is ours in Christ, of course, is beautifully pictured in communion. Christ is the bread of life. We feed on him by faith. He's our food. He nourishes us to everlasting life. But just as there are different kinds of light and different kinds of water, there are obviously different kinds of food. And your diet will affect your health, right? Confession. I went to the doctor last month. Nothing wrong with me, feeling great, hadn't been for a long, long time, and so with a little encouragement, I decided to go. He did a blood test, I got a letter. A few days later, your cholesterol is too high. Change your diet. So no more Chicago beef sandwiches or chili cheese fries for me. If you want to live well, eat healthy. What is true of the body is true for the soul. And the communion service reminds us that a healthy life is one that is fed on Jesus Christ by faith. It's sustained, it's nourished, it's strengthened by him. And Paul says, now, you're to love your wife, husband, as Christ loves the church. And what that means is the way that you feed and care for your wife as Christ feeds and cares for his church. So I ask you this question. What would be the effect on a person of a 20-year diet of you?
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and a powerful question to think about as we pause the teaching right here. We'll continue on our next broadcast. Our message is called Gospel-Shaped Marriage, and it's part of a larger series called Unless the Lord Builds the House. And if you ever miss a broadcast in our series, come and listen online. Our website is openthebible.org. You know, Colin, that image of light attracting or repelling is helpful. So what would you say to the person who now sees that they have been a repelling light in their spouse for years?
Yeah, and that is so easy, is the first thing to say, to be the kind of person that becomes critical, mm-hmm. picks up on everything. Oh, you didn't do this right, you know, and it's crushing, it's killing to love within a marriage. And the principle here is to try to treat the other person in the same way as Jesus Christ has treated you. Mm-hmm. So think about how the Lord Jesus Christ has treated you. He's not picked you up on everything that is wrong in your life. He takes us slowly. He is immensely patient. He overlooks so many things. And that grace and kindness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his gentle light that works with us patiently over time, boy, that's what you've experienced. That's what I've experienced. That's what you want to be able to show to the person God has placed close to you.
That's a great challenge, and appreciate that, Colin. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, a message called Gospel-Shaped Marriage, and we're going to continue next time. So I hope you make it a point to join us. If you ever miss a broadcast, come and listen online at openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a six-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The six sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.